Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on June 11, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with the news today, including what the impact of tariffs is on ag construction projects. And ISDA wants to hear what you would like to see in the new Indiana State Ag Portal. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast: more sunshine and dry today before some light rain chances in the north late tomorrow. And yesterday, corn and beans saw some bargain buying. Wheat sold off. We have Arlen Suderman market commentary on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Tariffs putting the pause button on ag construction projects and your input needed on the new Ag Web Portal. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Many U.S. grain and livestock producers have expressed concerns about President Trump's tariff strategy. And as C.J. Miller reports, those tariffs are also hitting the pause button on ag construction projects, like a new bioplastics manufacturing facility in Knox County.
Obviously, nobody budgets for a 50% increase in costs on a piece of equipment, and we're in that boat right now.
And that's Brian Southern, founder and CEO of AgroRenew. They're building a new 196,000-square-foot plant near Vincennes. The company plans to take waste from watermelons and other crops and turn them into biodegradable plastics. However, Southern tells Hoosier Ag Today that the day-to-day uncertainty of the tariffs are having a major impact on his building plan.
Since the early part of the year, we've been dealing with different types of on-again, off-again tariffs. And most recently, some of the tariffs are impacting the our ability to get access to building materials and stuff like that. You know, it's made our supply chain kind of nervous when it comes to, well, are we going to have a tariff or not? And it's impacted our ability to get confirming dates on when equipment can arrive.
Not only will the 50% tariffs on steel significantly increase the cost that he and his team have budgeted for construction, Southern adds that the steel that is manufactured in the U.S. doesn't always originate from here in the U.S.
You know, the industrial manufacturing world is a global economy. It's not unique to a specific country. The tariffs on the steel, you know, there are a lot of companies here that kind of depend on getting steel from multiple sources. And when you cut off the supply from other places, it impacts the supply chain within the country.
Fortunately, Southern says he still expects AgroRenew's new production facility to be finished by the end of next summer.
We don't believe that long term that it's going to have an impact on the finish date for the construction of the building. It's just delaying when we start a few things to make sure that our deliveries for equipment and the deliveries for the construction materials and the build out all kind of align to be culminating at the same time, because it doesn't do us any good to have equipment showing up and not have a finished building, or it's not productive for us to complete a new building and not have the process equipment to put inside it.
Check out more of my conversation with Brian Southern, founder and CEO of AgroRenew. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Retail agronomists and crop consultants, attend the Agronomy Conference and Expo in Indianapolis August 4th through 6th and enjoy complimentary registration. This event is a must attend for retail agronomists looking to network with industry leaders with key sessions on sustainability and nutrient management. Use the code Hoosier in all caps for complimentary registration. Visit tfi.org/events and use the code Hoosier to secure your complimentary spot at the Agronomy Conference and Expo in Indy.
It was the first bill Mike Braun signed into law as governor of Indiana, House Enrolled Act 1149. It tasked the Indiana State Department of Agriculture with creating a web portal for Hoosier farmers, agribusinesses, and consumers.
The idea is just to have a one-stop shop, so to speak, for anything to do with ag and how to either improve what you're doing, expand what you're doing, do something differently. If you've got a question about anything to do with agriculture and how we can do it better, you could find an answer to that on this portal.
That's ISDA Director Don Lamb, who says the first step to creating this ag portal is hearing from you. He especially wants to hear from you if you're actively involved in production agriculture.
People who are producing food, producing products. I wouldn't say that we wouldn't listen to anybody, obviously, in the agriculture community, if it's suppliers or researchers or anything like that. But the idea of this portal is to make it easier for people to become more involved in agriculture, production agriculture. And so that's who we're really focusing on at this point.
The input received from the survey, which you can find by locating this story at HoosierAgToday.com, will help influence what information is readily available on the new ag portal when it's finished.
What seems to be kind of the easiest picking apples? Where do we get the most interest? You know, is there a common denominator that people are looking for information on a certain subject? And we can make some guesses about that, but hopefully the survey will kind of help solidify some of those thoughts.
The survey takes about 2 minutes to complete. It's anonymous and does not ask for personal or business identifying information. After gathering data and building the ag portal, it's set to launch in 2026. Again, you can find the survey by finding this story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got another dry day, completely dry day across the Hoosier State today. And then things get a little bit more exciting to finish the week and go into the weekend. Let's talk it through for your Wednesday. We're seeing another full day of sunshine, a little warmer, a little more humid in spots, but still, it is June. We expect these things. We're watching a weather system trying to come together a little bit farther to our west. So today, this afternoon especially, watching scattered showers and thunderstorms develop over portions of northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, and this is going to move eastward through southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and eventually, for tomorrow, be right in over Michigan. How, you say, how does this matter to us, Ryan? Well, here's the deal. The scattered showers in Michigan are going to be throwing some cloud cover down into northern Indiana for your Thursday. Do I think it yields a lot of precipitation? No. Can I rule out a spit or a sprinkle, especially as we head towards sunset tomorrow night? Also, no, I cannot. However, central and southern Indiana turn out partly to mostly sunny, warm and dry tomorrow, and that pattern lingers into Friday. So we're going to be seeing the northern tier counties have to dodge maybe clouds and a spit or a sprinkle, but most precipitation stays to the north. So in central and southern Indiana, going back to yesterday, that means we're looking at 4 days of dry weather back to back to back all the way through Friday. Everything changes over the weekend. For your Saturday, we see hit and miss scattered showers start to morph into a more organized batch of moisture. And then we see that really ramp up overnight Saturday night into Sunday. All told for the weekend, I'm going to pencil in here anywhere from 1/4 to 1.5 inches. Coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. Cloud cover lingers on Monday. We don't start drying right away, although not a lot of new moisture for next Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday turn out partly to mostly sunny and pleasant. Scattered showers coming back Wednesday night, Thursday. Again, hit and miss scattered showers for Friday, Saturday, and probably drying down by the time we get to Sunday the 22nd. There we could see a longer-term dry window starting to open up in the latter part of June. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Just a little higher in corn and beans, wheat goes lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. And the review is brought to you by Purple Wave Auction, where farm equipment finds new life. No reserve online auctions with the local touch you trust and the national reach you need. PurpleWave.com. Sold means sold. I'm Ian DeEubank. I'll have the settlements coming up. We begin with market analysis from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I spoke with him at the end of the Tuesday session. Choppy trade in the corn and soybean markets. It looked like a corn sell-off, but that has reversed as we head to the end of the trading session. Wheat lower all day long. Let's start with corn and beans, though, Arlen, as those markets chop around a little bit higher by the close, maybe some bargain buying.
Yeah, certainly some bargain buying in there. The July contract had fallen to its lowest level since October, and it had only dipped to that level in October for one day. And so then you have to go all the way back to end of August before we last saw the July contract trade that low. When you get that cheap, you start having end users saying, you know, we're getting into the summer months, maybe it's time to get a little coverage. You start seeing speculators do the same thing, getting nervous about their short positions. Soybeans also getting a little bit of a bump. There's still some debate about whether we're going to see heat and dryness in central and western parts of the Midwest. Forecasters disagreeing with themselves. But overall, the odds of that seem to be ratcheting down a little bit.
Let's talk about maybe some pressure points for the markets. First of all, the crop ratings improved on Monday from a week ago. Was that a pressure point for corn and beans?
It was. And one reason we saw corn and soybeans trading lower early in the day. Soybeans were the first to start coming back, followed by corn. So they finished the day better than what they started. Expectation is that we're going to hear the RVO requirements or the biofuel blending requirements from the EPA any day now. Those are being reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget currently. And the expectation, as I said, is that those requirements will be announced any day, and that'll give us some guidance for the first time in months on biofuel needs for the feedstocks.
Also, Arlen, the trade talks with China and the U.S. continue, and they're being characterized as very good. What might be the market reaction to those talks?
I think that was a little bit of a positive for the corn and soybean markets as well. Really, when you look at United States and China, we're probably further apart than what we were 2 months ago when this trade war really picked up momentum. But each time we've had high-level talks, like what we have going on right now in London, they've always come out of it with something they can agree on that markets liked. And so I'm anticipating that once again, we'll probably come out with something that they can agree on. It may or may not have anything to do with the grain and oil seeds, but traders want to hope that perhaps it will be good for agriculture, and there's a little bit of an optimism there.
A couple of days away from a USDA June update. What are your expectations, Arlen?
I think the expectation is that we'll see an increase in the old crop corn export target once again, and maybe even the soybean export target. Outside of that, I don't think we'll see a whole lot of changes. The new crop production estimates should remain the same as they were in May until we get an acreage adjustment on June 30th. Overall, we may have some a ratchet up in Brazil's corn production estimate. Maybe some very modest changes in corn and soybeans for Argentina.
Analyst Arlen Suderman, he is with StoneX. On the Hat Tuesday Farm Market Review, a nickel and a quarter higher. July corn, 438 and three quarters. September settles at 425 and a half, up three and a quarter. December, 440, up 2 cents. A penny and three quarters higher. July and August beans, July, 1057 and three quarters. August, 1049 and a half. And November ended the session at 1031 and a quarter, up a half cent. 7.5 cents lower. July wheat, 534 and a half. Meat markets, mostly higher but mixed. June live cattle, 227.07, up 7. And June lean hogs, 103.15, up 37. I'm Ian DeEubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.